Almighty and ever-living God, you most merciful and gracious giver and sustainer of all that lives, what a blessed privilege it is to realize that it's your love who has called us together this evening, your love which holds us together in you while we grow, and your love which feeds our spirits. Lord, help us tonight come open-minded, open-hearted, ready to receive what you would have us hear, to know what you would have us know, to live the lives you've intended for us to live. Move in us, Lord, in unmistakable ways. This we pray in the name of the Father transcendent, the Son omnipresent, and the Holy Spirit immanent. As Barbara always likes to do, I invite us to listen from the ear of the heart. This is a reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in him, and he in us, that he has given us his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in him. In this is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. This is the word of the Lord. And our psalm is from Psalm 72. The refrain is, Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Sheba shall bring tribute. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted one when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. Alleluia, alleluia. Glory to you, O Christ, proclaimed to the Gentiles. Glory to you, O Christ, believed in throughout the world. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After the 5,000 had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on shore. Then he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by them, But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. But at once he spoke with them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." He got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. This is the gospel of the Lord. I want to reflect on that very last line. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. What? These folks just saw feeding of 5,000 and hardened their hearts. It's always puzzled me. And in working with it and just listening and listening to my heart, I gradually understand that these guys were hardened because they were special. They hung out with the Master. They were the disciples. They were the ones that were kind of called out from the rest of the crowd. And they were special. And that made others not as good as them. Their hearts closed down, and they were clenched in lovelessness while they felt special for being one of the inside people. And so he sends them off in the boat and dismisses the crowd, goes off to a place to pray, and then sees they're caught in the boat. Now, it seems he takes his time getting around there, and they see him about to pass them by. Now, I had to ask myself, well, why would he pass them by? Why would he just walk out there, know they're going to see him, and just keep going? And my sense of this is that he's not concerned for them. He's not the slightest concern for them, because they're his disciples. And of course, he who can do anything and has done anything can do what they need done too. But they're terrified. Their specialness just disappeared. It doesn't spend on a rough sea if you're just on the outside a disciple. And so when they saw him walking on the sea and were terrified because they thought they'd seen a ghost, then he turned toward them and came to the boat and got in the boat with them. After saying, "It is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid." Now let's see if we can get this out of history a long time ago, and find out where this gospel meets us today in our own lives. Because if it's not meaningful to our right now presence, what are we doing? Of course it's meaningful. That's why it's all over the world. That's why John knew it would go all over the world. It's covered the world. But to find what we're hungry for requires us to be very alert and to realize, mystically, the deepest meanings of this text and the most personal meanings of all. I invite you to feel fear. We usually keep it at quite a distance, so we don't even often recognize it. But realize that there's such a thing as fear, that you felt it, that it is alienating and feels very alone, and feels lost, feels like it's going to maybe even go under, especially when times get turbulent and the waves of our culture, the waves of our world, our earth, the waves of the economic system or disease entities, maybe they start to churn up and maybe our fear becomes prominent and we begin to see it. What would he say to us? He'd say, "It is I. Do not be afraid." So here's our fear. Let's just call a summary form of the fear right to surface here and see and feel, oh, that's what fear feels like. Sometimes it's even hard to recognize it because it's so subtle and we're so used to living in denial that we're afraid that it's a little difficult to recognize when it takes on the mood of doubt, the mood of otherness, the mood of pouting and pulled backness. But there's fear behind all of it, fear of relationship, fear of intimacy, fear of conditions in the world. But all fear is fear. Sometimes we think that there's this fear and then this fear and then this fear. There's fear. Do not be afraid. It is I. Every time an angel came down from heaven to announce some wondrous thing, the first thing he said, don't be afraid. When Christ comes down from heaven, don't be afraid. The instruction goes out to all mankind. Don't be afraid. It is I. Okay, where is he then? We heard in 1 John, no, nobody's ever seen God, and yet, if there's love in our hearts, he's there. So let's see if we can find his presence so that it will always be available to us experientially as well as ontologically, as well as in being. We want to have the experience of it. So I, this interesting word I, it is I. Before I am this or I am that, preceding it in being, in existence, is naked I, I-ness. Comes out of everybody's mouth. Everybody says I. Whether they say it in another language or not, I, I. It's a universal presence in all human beings. It is I. Can you find in yourself that I that's deeper than I am this or I am not that or I am all these different things that we hook onto it? Where's I? It just got into the boat with us. It just got into the boat with us. You can't have the existential mystery of I-ness. It's not an egoic I. This is the universal I of the true self, the I of creation, the personal presence of caring in creation. I am with you always, even unto the edge of the age. I am within you. I. When you find that I, it won't hook you. You have to go deeper than the things that it's sorting through to be afraid of. When you feel that I and the mystery of it, and realize that the same feeling is in every human person that ever lived, pure subjectivity, I. Well, once you see the universalness of that, once you hear it coming out of every mouth, it's not different eyes. It's the same eye every time. It's the true self. It's Christ. He is our I-ness. Now we would attach and hook on all kinds of stuff to that. But before there's anything to hook on, there's that which is going to be hooked onto it. It is I. I simply am existence itself in personal form, manifesting in you and in everybody else as I. Now when we become alert to fear, often it's terror, like they did. Oh my God. But most of this stuff is just chicken poop that we're afraid of. It's just stuff, little stuff. I. If you can kind of get what that's costing you in a given moment and drop back into the I, you will see the waves calm. You will see your spirit and his spirit unified and experiencing the universal humanity, the universal life that is the true inheritance of all mankind, of every single human person, whether they ever heard the name Jesus or not. When that I gets into the boat with you, gets into your vehicle, when that I begins to be a prominent feature of your awareness, and you realize, when I realize, I can't explain this. What about my subjectivity? I didn't invent me. I didn't ask to be born. I don't know how I got here, how I made it through childhood. My goodness,
all along the way. I'm afraid of this, and I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid I'm not going to be loved. I'm not afraid I'm going to be broke. I'm afraid I'm going to miss those tests. On and on it goes. You play your own roles back. Play your recordings back and listen to the countless times the false self was afraid. It was afraid as though God were absent. God isn't absent. He's never been absent. And Christ has never been absent. What's absent is our attention and our feelings that when attached to objects and forms and thoughts that appear sequentially in time and space. But what we need and what we're saved by is the simple awareness that God is now and always living me, that He is that in me which is alive, and that He has gifted me with the power of speech to give my eye to anything I want to. And if I've been giving it to limitation, if I've been giving it up to fear, if I've been giving it up to doubt that I then project onto what I see as a broken world, well, it's a brand new day every minute. It's a brand new moment to get the mystery and feel the mystery of I. Whence this I? And why do I need to be terrified before I'll turn to it? Why do I need to feel threat before I turn to the center of my own being to discover the reality that lives at the heart of every person? And so John has been there. He was one of the disciples that got into the boat to go to the other side, to Bethsaida. And now he's in his 80s, and he's writing his letters. If you remember the Gospel according to John, that finishes with, if I were to try to put on paper all that I saw, all that I touched and felt and heard, all the books in the world wouldn't be sufficient to hold them. And so this witness now turns to us and he says, God is love. You can count on that. He loves you. You can count on that. He's God. You can count on that. This is the God who fed the thousands through his son Jesus. This is the God who can do anything, including raising people from the dead, healing blindness, leprosy, twisted ankles, whatever. He can do anything. Where's the limit? It's in you and me. If we choose to ignore his love and worship our fear, how do we know when we're worshiping it? Because we're attending to it instead of to the infinite I that's present in our hearts. To attend to fear, to mull it over and over, chewing on it like a dog chews on a bone, is not only a waste of time, it's sinful. Not as in an accusative way, it's acting as if God is not present, as if there's no God here, and that I'm a separated soul at risk. Well, I'm only at risk when I'm under my own authority. I'm only at risk when I'm reacting to the moment. And even then, it's going to turn out okay, as you'll notice that it always has, because every one of us got here tonight. Every one of us made it through failed tests or relationships that didn't work or threats to our safety. Here we are. It was always a lie. And so when we begin to see the evidence, not based on our sensations or thoughts, but on, wow, look at that. We begin to realize he really is love, and he really is here, and he really did show himself to people, and John is a witness. John saw, and then he told us, bear with one another in love. For when you're in love, you're in God, and God's in you. We can be sure of that. And we can confess that Jesus came, because we wouldn't be here if he hadn't. There'd be no Christian church, so our evidence is the Eucharist and our own hunger in our hearts for his meaning. But don't give yourselves up to fear, he said. And fear is what makes us close our hearts. Fear is what pulls us back from intimacy with other people. We won't be appreciated. We won't do it right. We won't say it right. Give it up. The spontaneity of life erupting in our hearts, constantly reaffirming with each heartbeat that God is present and active, is lacking only our attention to become the most pure gift in our lives, because He will give us new eyes to see each other. We'll see each other through God's eyes. We'll love with God's heart because we've given ourselves up to God and let go of our fears. And when we let go of our fears, there's nothing left but love, nothing left but life, nothing left but the vital expression of vibratory life, appearing as this entire world and everything that's in it. Now, to get to love is not easy. It's not obvious when we're afraid, and it's not obvious when we're not in love. We have to begin to do what Bernadette Roberts calls scathing self-honesty in our own examination of ourselves. It's not for anybody else. You don't have to tell anybody. You'd want to know what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your mind, because that's your environment. You may live in an outer environment, but you live in yourself about that outer environment. And if that inner environment that nobody else can see but you and God is one that's based on fear, one that's based on lovelessness and objectification of others, again, it's a brand new day, brand new moment. Make another decision, make another choice, and to ask for the help we need. They were terrified and they called out. That's the reason He turned toward them and came, because they asked Him to. He's always responding to, ask what you will. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Well, if we're seeking Cadillacs or whatever it is, or seeking stuff that's going to change and pass away, we're wasting our time. To seek Him in our deepest interior is to find life itself, and He'll take care of the rest. He's the Good Shepherd. And if we want to love, it means that we have to bear like God. If we want to love like God, here's the hard part. We get to bear all the people being all the ways people can be. We get to accept and bear the whole world just like God does, every single second of every single day, without judging it, without criticizing it, without recoiling from it, without dissing it, without being discouraged by it. We just bear it. Love bears all things. It's inconvenient to the false self, but it ought to be inconvenienced on its way out. I, the true self, is with us always. It calms the waves. It opens the heart. It makes us realize how desperately we need Him. Now, the reason the disciples didn't get it from the breaking of the bread and the other miracles, because their hearts were been hardened. Boy, they got out to sea, and it got a little rough, and those hard hearts went away. Help! Help! It was the desperation, the recognition of the desperate situation they were in, that got the response from Christ. And so we may have it okay in middle-class America here. It may be fine for a long time, or it may not. But there are daily fears, and then there are critical, big, epoch-changing fears. They all have the same response. Don't be afraid. It's I. It's I. This is our Father's world. Amen. Amen. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.